Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the day that the light has come back a little bit, the day after the summer solstice. Connie Kilmark is with us this hour, and when I was thinking about this show, I thought, I have so much I want to talk to her about, so we're going to cover a lot of territory. It's hard to give the whole show a title. Connie has been on many programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. She is the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. In 1975, she served as a counselor and then director of the Madison Consumer Counseling Consumer Credit Counseling Service, and she developed really the foundation of her professional practice, which includes a commitment to empowering clients to design their own lives and then use the resources of money and time to bring the design to life. She founded her own company in 1986. She's been doing this then for quite some time. And she also does a lot of consultation and training to professionals in banks, credit unions, mortgage lenders, credit reporting organizations, families, couples, and many, many people. So we're happy to have her with us this hour to talk about a number of things. What's on my list, actually, is I'm still concerned about people who are unemployed right now. And the story of Nancy, for those of you who listen to us regularly, has lingered with me for a while. So I want to talk about people who find themselves without jobs and sometimes without health insurance and moving into a new year, high unemployment rate, what it is we can do to keep our own jobs secure, and how can we reach out to people who have lost a lot during the course of 2009. We'll be looking at holiday traditions. I don't know about you, but when I approach this season, I approach it much as my mother did, and she went kind of overboard, and it's hard for me. She's in my mind. I loved her dearly. I'm wearing her vest today, but she went overboard for Christmas, and it's hard for me to not think, oh, we got to have all these packages. It's not how much they are, but you know, it's sort of like the more packages you have, the better the celebration is. I don't know where this comes from, but I can't get rid of it. And some of you may be in financial straits that aren't great, or do you want to protect some of the things that you have? And we can talk about gift giving and what you do when somebody gives you this extraordinary present and you didn't buy anybody the present, or you don't have as much as they gave you, and how you deal with the emotions and all of that. Oh, there is so much to talk about with Connie. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email address, which you can use, is talk@wpr.org. Hello, Connie. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello. Happy holidays.
The same as well to you.
Yeah. I'm just so crazy this time of year, Connie, that I left my whole bag with all my work in it at a store yesterday because I had at first lost the scarf that somebody here had given me and I loved in the same store. So I'm looking for the scarf and forget the work bag.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful little video snapshot of exactly what a hallucinatory time this December thing is, and it revs up. It starts right after Thanksgiving, and it revs up, and finally, it all culminates.
Right.
And I love the idea that your arms were so full of other things that you wouldn't have missed the work bag that you came in with.
Right, the most important thing. I mean, the scarf was too, but my work bag, for heaven's sake, my work bag.
Well,
that's
so
precious.
Does that not give us a lovely little pinhole view of exactly the issue? What are the priorities? What's really important? And it's really hard to remember what's important when you're in the throes of what I think of as a giant wave. Think of people surfing on, you know, the beaches of Hawaii. I feel like we're all caught in such a wave that we can't step out of it and say, wait a minute, what's really going on here?
Right.
What's the whole point here?
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm thinking that what you just described is where we ought to go, to the giant waves in Hawaii and sit on the beach. It sounds okay to me, Connie. I got to ask you first, because this woman's story has lingered with me, and we had so many people call in and wanting to help, and let me tell you the story.
Yes,
and
recap it.
Yeah, Nancy called us from Minnesota. She's a 56-year-old woman who had just lost her job a couple of weeks before. It was unskilled labor. She lost her health insurance. She was fighting the company to get unemployment comp, and I told her to really fight for it, but she really had nothing. And there was just this lack of hope in her voice, and a lot of listeners responded to her and very concerned. And it's not just Nancy, of course. There are a lot of people like this, which is why I didn't say immediately call in and give us money for Nancy, which a lot of people right. wanted to do, which is nice because it's public radio and that was good. But that story has stayed with me because there are so many people like that right now, Connie. And I don't even know what to ask you about this other than how do those who have reach out to people who are in that situation? Number two is how do we all sort of protect ourselves? Because anybody could be in that situation next year with the way the economy is.
Well, there's several thoughts I have on this matter. One of the things that I've been doing some speaking on this fall around that very issue is how profoundly important during a time when finances are tight and we're all a little bit uneasy and fearful, how profoundly important it is that we not forget the stewardship of our nonprofit organizations. We have privatized such a lot of the social safety net in our country so that homelessness, for instance, and food programs through churches and food pantries and community centers, and such a large number of other basic human safety nets are provided by our relatively fragile and almost invariably profoundly thrifty nonprofits. I really believe that at a time like this, and when the envelopes come and those organizations that we traditionally have supported, we really have to not cut them out as a thrift step. We really have to step up because it's the community that knows Nancy that's going to come through with the basics, with things like food and maybe shelter if worse comes to worse. It's absolutely true that there are people caught at the bottom of this, the wheels of the grinding economy, that are really going to be out of possible economic livelihood for probably quite a while because, you know, the jobs for not so skilled people are just not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to pay attention and not forget those nonprofits. And the other thing in terms of our own job security is, for heaven's sake, continue to learn. You know, the way that we stay somehow a little bit nimble is not to relax back and lean back into a sinecure, but rather to be thinking about the fact that as I stay up to date, I'm very impressed because you and I are of similar ages and you are all over Facebook. I mean, I have to say I am not with you on that, and I'm out of date and I know it. So my ability to catch up with younger folks' way of communicating with each other, I have a lot to learn from you because you've been open-minded about that. I just think that the more we learn and the more we continue to keep our skills, even new skills that we would not have imagined acquiring, that's going to be somewhat helpful.
Well, Connie, it's really easy to get on Facebook. All right, we're going to get you.
Oh, I know.
We've got to have
on
you
it,
do
but
this.
I just don't find it. You have a really good reason to go check, but, you know.
But you could, too. All you have to do
is. Oh, I know.
All right, Connie, we want you there.
I love it.
We'll give you a link somehow. So.
Let me say something, Kathleen.
Okay.
I think in tough financial times, the holiday actually becomes clearer, not less clear. I think this holiday of Christmas is. Let's take Christmas as the specific tradition we're talking about. The current form of it only dates back to the 20s, the 1920s. Before that, gifts were not part of Christmas. Can you imagine that all of what we now put on ourselves really only dates back to the booming, unbelievable, you know, bursting at the seams excesses of the 1920s when department stores were figuring out that we could gift wrap the packages in bright holiday pattern paper, and then people would buy more. But before that, it was mainly about food and music and family relationships and gathering and being sort of silly and and enjoying being childlike.
Yes.
And with Queen Victoria's marriage to a German prince, Albert, we got the tree. So the German tradition was generalized to the English world, even though the Yule log had been and the tree had been part of it for German Christians before that. So, you know, this is really new, and we can step back and outside of this and start to think about, okay, what is really going on here?
Right. I know we can. How do we do that? Because the tradition is so strong from the families that we grew up in, no matter what it is. Either it's you don't do anything, or you do way too much, or you do something that is meaningful for you. But how do you create what it is you want?
Well, I think one of the things that we can start to think about, and your introduction of my sort of biography is helpful, money and time are both currencies. If money is in short supply, and even when it's not, adding personal time to something often makes something less generic and far more personal. I'll give you an example. If you know that Uncle Patrick really loves a particular odd polka band from Ohio, it may take you 4 months to track down this polka band and get a recording. But by God, that man will know that you remembered something about
him.
Not everyone will know.
Yes.
If you are making bread from scratch, your guests will know that what you did was give them the gift of a personally created and lovingly made loaf of bread, as opposed to a generic, even artisan crafted, generically bought bread that was made for any customer that might have come in that day.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is really profound. Think of a birthday cake. You can buy one that might be prettier, but it wasn't made by mom, and so it doesn't matter what mom's looks like. It was made by mom.
Right. Oh, I love the Patrick Polka thing. That's just great, because he'll remember that forever.
Well, and I mean, it matters that you pay attention.
Pay attention to the person.
Year.
Exactly.
You must be actually giving your friends and your family members the gift of your actual attention, which I would argue is the scarcest resource. And when we have less distraction from shopping and stores and malls, I would argue that we have more possible time for personal attention.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Personal attention. That's the way to look at
listening,
the whole thing.
Undivided personal attention.
Right. Well, our number is 800-486-8655. Connie Kilmark is our guest this hour, and Connie is so good in so many areas. We've made this a discussion of a number of different issues. We're dealing with a very difficult economy with a very high unemployment rate this particular holiday season, which is probably not going to get a whole lot better. We can talk more about how those who have really need to step up and make sure that people have food and shelter and the possibility of a better life in 2010. How do we do that? How do you deal in your family? And I find myself in this category because my mother decorated the bathroom, had more decorations than my house does for Christmas. She just went all out and did so, not in terms of money spent on presents, but just this all kinds of things. There was so much. It was such a big day for her, and partially because she grew up during the Depression and got oranges for Christmas, you know, a couple oranges. That was it. And I know that some of you listening grew up during the Depression or very hard times or now and find that that's your celebration as well. So how do you carve out what Connie just described, which is that's it. That's the secret of the whole thing, is to pay attention to somebody. All right. So we'll take your phone calls, all right? 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@WPR.org. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And Kilmark, our guest this hour, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. We start phone calls with Jonathan from Fox River Valley. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning. Happy holidays, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
I have found a way to break that consumer treadmill. A couple of years ago, I decided I was not going to give gifts anymore. And the best way I've found to present that is to say, I am going to give you the gift of not having to worry about finding a gift for me. People appreciate that. They have more time to spend on other things, and whether that's shopping for other gifts, that's up to them. But I found that's a nice, pleasant way to reach that no gift accord or no gift compact or treaty or whatever you want to call it.
Well, you know, you raise a good point because it is a kind of negotiation, isn't it? I think it's hard to believe the words you just said. And so for the first year or two, it may very well be that people don't believe you. And it may take calm, reasoned repetition for them to actually see that you mean what you said. And I do have one friend just like that, and I must say that receiving him at Christmas Eve for hospitality and for enjoyable time, it took a while for me to not feel like, well, he might say that, but he doesn't really mean it. And so I think that you have given a gift, and I think that then you come and you leave full of food, but without that sense of something in your hands to bring and something in your hands to take home.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Have a grateful day.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks so much.
In some families, I have heard wonderful stories in my office of the tradition of putting mom, as she ages, at the hub of a wheel, and all the children and grandchildren are spokes that come out of mom. And as the names are drawn for that technique of more modest gift-giving that has to do with drawing a name and then spending whatever you're going to spend on that person, mom is the only person who knows what everybody wants and the only person who knows who drew which name. It makes mom or grandma beautifully important as sort of the matriarch, and it allows the harvesting of what I would call anticipatory pleasure. In the rush and hurry of being private about our gift giving and going and buying generic presents, we lose some of the incredible value that the anticipation, the pleasure of planning and plotting and thinking and sharing and saying, wouldn't she just, oh, can you imagine how she's going to feel when? That piece is often left off. So an alternative to what Jonathan has just shared is a really serious name draw that puts mom or grandma in an honorific position, whoever knows the wishes of the heart, and then she can manage the information flow. Well, I know just what Jane would really like, or I know just what Jim could really use. And then she can be the manager of the information.
Oh, this is a great idea. Great idea.
And then pleasure fills out, and anticipation fills out the gift with, you know, the plotting and the planning and the anticipation. I think it's one of the reasons that I love the season of Advent. I love the notion that we're expecting and waiting and making hearts ready for something, some wonderful fulfillment. And surely that fulfillment cannot be a box from Macy's. Surely it's got to be something bigger and fuller of human meaning than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Nancy calling in. I started the show with Nancy, and she is listening, I guess, today. So Nancy is calling from Minnesota. Hi, Nancy. I'm so glad you called. I've been thinking about you for a week at least.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. I was shocked when I heard you mention my call when this program started. I don't know if you had said anything on the air, you know, after I had called before, but I had no idea that anybody had heard it or cared or anything. The main reason I'm calling now is just to let you know that I'm okay. I'm better, in fact. I had actually run out of my antidepressant medication and couldn't get it refilled because I didn't have the money, and it's quite expensive, and actually went through some really nasty and sudden withdrawal, but did manage to get in, and actually am on medical assistance now, which is a bit humbling, but I'm grateful it's there, and I'm back on my medication, so that has made a huge difference. But I wanted to say I am so touched that people did hear and did care.
Yes, they did.
And it means more to me than you can know. And it's wonderful gift.
Oh, well, and I didn't know I'm so glad you called to hear that you're doing better. And Obviously, it would be hard for us to link people to you because there are so many people, unfortunately, who are in similar situations. But right. I struggled with your call for a long time.
What I would like to do, if it's okay, because I have a blog that it's not about my depression. It's about my sheep that I raise.
Oh.
And I've written about it for years, and I have a lot of people that, that follow my blog. And for the most part, it's a very upbeat thing. In fact, I tend to stop posting when I'm depressed, and my readers have come to know that. But they've also frequently commented that they very much appreciate when I do share what I'm dealing with, when I'm struggling with my depression, and that it helps them. And I'm shocked and saddened by how many people contact me and say that they also struggle with this. And I'm like, how can such a nice person have to deal with this? And I'm like, gee, they think the same thing about me. If it's okay with you, I would like to give my blog address.
Yes, yes, please.
It's www.bluffcountry.com.
B-L-U-F-F country.
Right. And Shetlands, that's the kind of sheep I raise,
okay.
Like Shetland ponies, only it's Shetlands.
Okay.
Sheep. So it's Bluff Country Shetlands, shetlands.blogspot.com.
Blogspot.com.
Right. And I haven't posted in a while because I was struggling so with my depression, and that's usually the first symptom that my depression is kicking up, and it's kind of cute because my readers know that, and people will start calling me and saying, Nancy, are you okay? You haven't posted for a while. And it's a wonderful way of connecting, and as I said, there's a lot of joy, I think, on my blog. It shows a lot of the love that I have for my place and my animals and the hope that I feel.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we'll expect a blog in the next couple days. Not too much pressure here, but that would be nice.
I'm on it today. I actually was out taking pictures of the sheep this morning.
Oh.
I need to get back on the blog and let people know I'm okay
and start being
positive and looking forward again.
And how about the job search?
I've got an application that I'm filling out that I have to turn in by tomorrow for an opening here in Houston that would be just a godsend and I'm qualified, so it's just a question of, you know, that insecurity. Security of, okay, Zimby, wow, 56-year-old, chicken farmer, sheep rancher.
I say, why not? Sure,
it would be awesome if I get it. I'm going to give it my best shot. And if that doesn't work out, I will find something. You know, I know that. I do know that things will work out eventually, and in the long run, I'm going to end up better off than I was where I was at.
Well, Nancy, I'm so glad you were listening today. And
thank you so much.
Thank you.
As I said to the screener, I was just stunned when I heard you say that, because you know when you're talking, you put the person on the phone on mute, and you can't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were talking that day, when you were talking to the guest as well, and when you were done, our call was disconnected, and I was like, she hung up on me.
Oh, no.
And I was just devastated.
Oh, no.
Oh, my Lord. I just cried.
Oh, Nancy.
And I don't think I listened. Well, again, I was going through a really hard time.
I know you were.
I had run out of the antidepressant, and boy, if anybody is struggling with depression, give yourself and your loved ones a gift and get into the doctor, because there is help, and
mm-hmm.
it's not... You know, it's so symptomatic of the condition to think, well, pill's not going to fix it, you know, but it does help.
Yes, I'm so glad you were listening. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah,
thanks. Well, that was something, Connie.
Oh, amazing. I want to take off on the two things on the sheep. I think that any employer who gets somebody who has been faithful to animals gets somebody who is dependable. So for heaven's sakes, chicken and sheep farmer, don't undersell how incredibly dependable you are. I think the older people in our economy are good bets because, in fact, we seem to have an extended teenagerhood that's going right on through the 20s. So I, frankly, would take 56-year-old sheep farmer any day. I want to share a very funny story that has to do with sheep at Christmas because Nancy just reminded me of this. Many years ago, my little congregation wanted to do a live nativity, and I was a spinner of yarn and a weaver and a knitter, and so I knew a lot about wool. And I thought, well, okay, I can try and find a sheep. So I started with my spinning teacher, and I said, I'm Connie, and I took spinning lessons with you. And she said, I remember you, and I need a sheep. And she said, well, I don't have a sheep, but here's the name of somebody who might have a sheep. So I called and I said, my name is Connie and you don't know me, but I need a sheep. And she said, well, I don't have a sheep, but here's somebody who might help you. And I called the next person and I said, my name is Connie and I need a sheep. And the next person said, well, I don't have one, but here's someone who might help you. And I called the last person and I said, my name is Connie and I need a sheep. And she said, well, and you don't know me, but I need a sheep. And she said, well, first of all, I do know you. And second of all, I do have a sheep. And thus began an amazing relationship that's gone on year after year after year with this lady who has sheep and also raises goats and makes beautiful goat cheese. Her name is Diana Murphy, and she sells it through her outfit called Dream Farms. And honestly, it was just such a hilarious chain of events. I was so hopeless, and then all of a sudden, both wishes came true. So that sheep has been transported in a car, in a truck, in an SUV. It's been transported back and forth about 30 miles every single Christmas Eve, and this year once again.
Oh, what a story. That's just
wonderful. You never know.
Wonderful.
And
you never know.
At what end of a rainbow somebody is going to say, I do know you.
Yes, you never know. Nancy, happy holidays.
Thank you so much.
And
happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you. And her, if you want to look at those sheep, I'm going to do that after I get off the air. It's, she said again, bluffcountryshetlands.blogspot.com. All right, we'll have to look at those. All right. Well, you almost want to pause and take a few minutes to take this all in, don't you, Connie? But we got to go on.
I know.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy, for the call. Let's go next to Pat from Chippewa County. Hi, Pat.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Pat.
Our family expanded over the years, as is natural. So now our family just draws names, which kind of cuts down on the hassle and the looking and the money, too. But for the last few years, I've gotten little special Christmas bags or boxes and make up slips of paper for everybody who is there for Christmas Eve. And last year, the little slip of paper said, I love you because. And then everybody who is there, from the tiny ones up to the adults, fills out these little slips of paper for everybody else in the family and puts them in their bag or their box. And they can open their bag or box that day, or they can take it home with them and look at it. Nobody has to sign them. They just can kind of try to figure out who wrote what.
Nice.
And this year, their little boxes are going to say, you make me feel special because you. So it's something for the family to do together, and you come up with some really interesting things. You don't realize why people love you or why they think you're pretty special. It costs you nothing. And it's just a delightful thing to be able to look at later.
I love that idea. I love it because it's, again, the gift of attention, and it could not be authored by a clerk in a store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the little kids get help from the bigger people or whatever. And I will tell you, last year, our middle son, when I'm open, because I can recognize most everybody's handwriting, which is kind of neat. And my second son had written, I love you because you always have food in the refrigerator for me.
As the young ones get into their 20s, they do appreciate that food doesn't come from the sky like manna in the desert for the children of Israel. I mean, it's just amazing how the miracle that there's actually something to eat actually begins to become appreciated. So I think that's right. You always have food in the refrigerator is not a small thing.
Well, the children love it. The adults laugh about it, and they can keep those slips of paper as long as they want during the year to be reminded that somebody really loves them for something they don't think about, or someone thinks they're special for something they didn't even realize.
Oh, I hope they keep them forever.
That's our deal.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's better than a Chinese fortune cookie, don't you, Kathleen?
Oh, yeah. And those have really, the quality of the fortune cookies, they're not personal anymore. Have you noticed
that?
That's right. Yeah, smile and you'll have a lot of friends or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, thanks. Those would be neat to keep every year, right, to see what people say about
Absolutely.
You every year. Make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Every year you can just keep going back.
Put it in a scrapbook page with the year at the top.
Ooh,
pictures
yes.
of the people that maybe as they grew up
yes.
and as they aged.
Yes. Ooh,
I love it.
Carrying on.
It's impossible to reproduce. It's impossible to buy that.
Yes, right. Oh, thanks, Pat, very much for your call. Katrina from La Crosse. Hi, Katrina.
Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to tell you, when you mentioned oranges, I had to call in. My father was from rural upstate Pennsylvania in the Depression. And whatever his mother did, she made getting tangerines and bruised bananas and nuts in your stocking treasure. But he even carried on the story and the custom when I was growing up. Plenty of times.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you call us back, Katrina? The phone just, and we couldn't hear you. So
but you know, Kathleen, think about the fact that oranges come from, for those of us in the north, they come from a tropical or subtropical climate. My father was raised 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle in northern Norway.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was dark during the winter, and I mean dark all day. The sun didn't come up over the horizon for quite a time. So imagine the depth of winter and the fact that when the light comes back, how remarkable it is. Oranges for Christmas from a tropical climate were a miracle.
Mm.
They were almost symbolic of the sun. They were symbolic that the sun must be shining somewhere,
yes,
or else there wouldn't be oranges.
Yes. How did he come here, Connie?
He came after World War II. He ended up as an engineer in the Norwegian Merchant Marine, and as he was traveling all over the world, the war came and swept up all those merchant seamen, and all those ships became part of the Allied supply train between from the United States to Europe. And of course, they were attacked numerous times by the German U-boats. So many times ships were taken. He was shipwrecked, maybe blown up, maybe three different times.
Ooh.
And survived.
Ooh.
And when he came finally at the end of the war to the United States, to the shipyards, he met my mom, and he settled in the United States and learned English from watching cartoons and from reading the funny papers and listening to Mayor LaGuardia read the funny papers.
That is one great story.
Well, I mean, how else does a northern Norwegian meet a southern Sicilian and make a family? Only in New York, right?
Yeah, only in New York.
I know.
Only in New York. Don from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Kathleen,
hi.
And happy holiday, Merry Christmas, so on.
Thanks, you too.
You mentioned that one of the greatest gifts is time, and I thought I would give you the gift of my waiting on the cell phone and listening to your program.
That is a gift.
Yes, it is.
But the point I want to make is that each year, you mentioned your mother decorates the bathroom better than you do your house. I take all of my Christmas cards or holiday cards and decorate them. I just put them over on the bathroom mirror. And my wife says, leave enough room so I can see my face. But what's good about it is that you just get reminders of the specific people. And they all spent this money to give these cards. And, you know, you put them in a box and you forget about them. But so this is inexpensive. It costs you the price of a Scotch tape. And you get this gift. And I put it on for the whole, you know, 12 days of Christmas or whatever it is. And I eventually get to look at them all.
Very nice.
I really like that idea. You know, gifted cards, handwritten cards, are becoming less common. I was recently in New York and visiting friends, and they were commenting on how sort of not done anymore cards are. And this year I took time and I wrote. I like my handwriting. I use a fountain pen, and I just like it. I like making letters. I like looking at, you know, well-done penmanship. It's just one of those weird things about me. And I spent 3 days so pleasurably thinking individually about all these people and saying something specific to that person that couldn't be said otherwise. And I will not ever, last year I didn't do them, I will not ever not do cards again. I just love the custom.
Yes. It's nice. You see, for me, it's quite the opposite. My handwriting is atrocious and always has been. But I'm very fast because Mom told me to take typing in
in
high school, and I'm really fast on the keyboard now.
There you go.
It gives me a chance, the handwriting, so I sacrifice the handwriting, but I get to write people I haven't been in touch with or want to talk to them. I have time to write them individual letters, type them.
Brilliant.
But I wish that I had beautiful handwriting.
Well, but you're giving still the gift of something specific and personal.
To them, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Don, did you have anything else, Don?
Just one other thing, if I can, is as long as you're in the bathroom and you get these wonderful letters to read, there's a way to put them close to a place where you might sit down and you can read them as the time goes by. I don't want to be too delicate about it. Okay?
Thanks, Don.
It's a great idea.
I can tell. Yeah.
And Kathleen, you know, that reminds us to be grateful for the gift of indoor plumbing. Really, don't you think it's one of those great markers of civilization? I just think it's wonderful.
To say nothing of the gift of humor.
That's right.
Thanks, Don, very much for the call. We'll take more phone calls for Connie in just a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Connie is founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark and Associates. And we're talking about, you name it, we're talking about personalizing this holiday, getting through difficult times, finding yourself a job, looking at what you can contribute to the world, making this a celebration of what is to come, as Connie has said. And, well, we're all over the place, but we're having a good time. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email is talk@wpr.org. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Connie Kilmark, our guest, and our number again is 800-486-8655. We do have an email you can use, which is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. What are you doing over the holidays, Connie?
Well, I'm cooking and making lots of different specific things that are traditional for Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, because of my father's ancestry, was always the time after my sister and I were little and did the Christmas morning sort of thing. Christmas Eve became much more the tradition because of his background. That's when you do it. Although I must say that when I was little, the fact is that my parents put the tree up on Christmas Eve and when we were sleeping, so that when we woke up on Christmas morning, the house was entirely transformed.
Oh.
It was really staggering. Nonetheless, the tradition at Christmas Eve as the friends and family gather is to do food that's finger food, so that it's people don't have to sit down. I discovered that when kids were little, it was intolerable to have a sit-down dinner and be looking at packages under the tree. But there are two specific things that we also do, and that is that the youngest person in the room who can read reads O. Henry's story, The Gift of the Magi.
Oh,
and
I love
it's
that story.
Every year. It has to be part of the celebration. And we do Christmas crackers, which comes from England, and they're absolutely absurd. You blow these things up that look like, crackers, I guess you could say. And that doesn't mean food. It means a party item that has a pop when you pull the ends out. And inside are silly little trinkets, as well as a groaner of a silly joke. And for some reason, the old and the young adore Christmas crackers, which I try to track down right after Christmas for the following year, which is a good time to track them down. And they are just absurd, and they are silly, and they are wonderful.
Yeah, this is...
And then church.
And then church.
Yeah.
Let's go to Celia from Madison. Hi, Celia.
Hey.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I'm calling in with a story that struck me the other night. I went to the Madison Ballet's production of The Nutcracker Suite, which was a gorgeous production, an amazing cast of at least 100 people up there on the stage dancing. But afterwards, I met with some of the fathers who had performed as, in the first act, the family that gathers for Clara's party. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, these fathers were talking. Their children were in the dance company, and their wives had roped them into, they needed male dancers or male performers. And these men were in their 50s. They're businessmen. One was a dentist. Had never, ever been on stage in their lives, and found themselves on the Overture Center main stage facing 1,800 people dancing the Nutcracker. And I was floored by the gift that they gave their family. They gave their children, they had both had children in the company who were learning to dance and will probably dance this dance for the next 10 years as young dancers. And there their father is on stage with them, dancing this with them. Their wives and, as he put it, their mother-in-laws were out in the audience watching the gift the father was giving to these children. I mean, the amount of time that they gave to learn these dances and be there for four nights performing. But the best gift of all was their eyes were bugging out going, my life has been rejuvenated. I am a new man. There is so much. Oh, my God. So, and then the gift they gave to me as a theater professional, watching non-professionals learn the gift of performance, an unbelievable gift all the way around that will always be there. And I said to them, the next time you hear the music, the Nutcracker, it will have so much meaning to you.
And it will to us, too, now.
Oh, my gosh. It was an incredible night. And these two men, I mean, literally dancing down State Street. 50-year-old men dancing down State Street going, what can we do now? What can we do now?
An amazing gift of taking a risk, and it would never have happened but for the love they had for their children.
Yes, right. Thank you so much for the call, Celia. That was a good one. Linda from Oshkosh, hi.
Hi, good morning. Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you,
you too.
Thanks. I wanted to just give you a little observation. I noticed this year, as every year, Christmas starts earlier and earlier. And the day before Halloween, I was driving, and I heard what I thought was Christmas music. And I thought, no, that can't be true.
Oh.
And yes, it was.
Oh.
And so what I've been finding this year is like, oh, my gosh, I have lots of time to shop and do and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, it's here. So yesterday, like you, Kathleen, I went to the store, go grocery shopping. I bought everything except what I came to buy for originally. And then I left my cell phone at the grocery store.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not alone.
It was just crazy. It's just crazy. But I also wanted to share a little idea I did last year, and I had such great joy doing it. I bought all my friends their initial in silver, which was an ornament, and then I had a card that I took their whole name, and next to every letter in their name, I put one of their attributes that love about them and gave it to them. And I had great fun doing that and just thinking so fondly of all my friends and wanting to bless them with how much I love them because of who they are, literally in their name. And it was a lot of fun. And then one last thing, when we were little, we would bake, my mom would make a cake for Jesus. And then in the manger, she would give me, I was the oldest, the little crib Jesus, the little baby Jesus, to put under my pillow to keep him warm for the night. So, and then we would have a birthday cake the next day, you know, on Christmas Day for Jesus. And it just was a wonderful little memory we had. So thanks for listening, and I hope you all have a wonderful
Thank you,
Christmas.
Linda. Thanks so much
Bye-bye.
For the call.
You know, Linda's call reminds me of that incomparable moment in the Bells of St. Mary's when the children are doing the Christmas program, and Mary and Joseph are next to the manger, and instead of singing Silent Night, the little ones start to sing Happy Birthday to you.
Yes,
that's just truly an incomparable moment from a child's perspective.
And again, Linda talks about these personal. Can you imagine receiving a gift like that? And the time that you spend in just creating a gift like that.
That's right.
That's just good. It's good. Sue from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. I'm just calling. Every year at Christmas, we give each other Christmas cards and write a little sentiment about what we're thankful for in the past year, and my daughter and I had a car accident in August. we were hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, no.
And it was a hit and run.
Oh, no.
And it was hugely scary and terrifying. And he ran a stop sign, and we were hit, and our car rolled over. And for
Oh, my gosh.
But for one very brief split second, I remember thinking, my baby, there she goes. She's 13 years old. And the car came to rest, and we looked at each other. We had our seatbelts on, and we were fine. I mean, we were fine. And we both, you know, we held out our hands, and she said, Mom, I'm fine. And I said, I'm fine.
Wow.
And, you know, people come rallying around, and everyone helps you, and it was wonderful. But I'm it's sometimes I almost have a hard time processing it, thinking of what might have been.
Right.
And truly, to some degree, how random the events are, and how magnificent it is to stop the world in not that way, certainly, but when the world gets stopped in that way, just realizing that the miracle is that there's something rather than nothing, that we exist at all, is such an amazing thing.
Isn't
it,
Connie?
That you were both okay at a moment when it could have, as you say, gone so terribly, terribly
longer. We have gifts under our Christmas tree this year, but there is not any box. There's nothing that can compare to that this year.
Well, then on some level, put that under the tree. Put it on a scroll and put it with a ribbon and say the best gift of all, and make sure you open that and proclaim it in your gathering.
And that's what I will do, and tell my daughter that my gift is that she is here and healthy and in one piece, and we can enjoy her for years to come.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you are, too.
I'm sorry?
And you are, too.
Absolutely, other than sharing this with you and getting a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, I know.
But we were perfectly healthy and fine, and we still are.
And then, of course, when those things happen, you think, all right, yeah, it's glorious I'm here, as Connie says. What the heck am I supposed to do with it? I gotta do something big now, right? I'm glad you're here to tell us the story, Sue. Thank you so much for your call.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. Great. 800-486-8655. Connie Kilmark is our guest this hour. Valerie from Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'm just so enjoying this. It's truly wonderful. I just wanted to share a Polish tradition that my husband brought into our family, and it's sharing the płatki. And the płatki are pieces of wafer that people can buy, usually in drugstores or in the Milwaukee area on the south side in the churches. And they're beautifully designed with usually a manger scene or something very Christmassy and sacred. And then you break that and you share it with different members of your family on Christmas Eve, and you collect all their pieces of blessings. You go around individually to each person, and you receive this blessing from each person in the family, and then the head of the household gives a toast, and you swallow all of your blessings in a kind of a very special kind of way to signify that you're really taking them in. But there's always this beautiful moment on Christmas Eve where you look around the room and everybody is huddled giving their blessings to each other. It's very powerful.
Wow. Hmm. You know, this story reminds me of some of the gift-giving traditions that come to us from all over the world. Anthropologists have long studied the gift traditions of different cultures, and breaking the gift and not you storing it and putting it in your cupboard, whether it's food or anything else, is a critically important thing, that the gift must remain a gift. And often, it's strange, but often breaking it makes it somehow more of a gift, breaking it and consuming it. So this is actually connected to a remarkably diverse set of cultures, none of them, as I think of it, specifically Christian, but it shows up here in a Christian tradition. I recommend to our listeners a remarkable book that's 25 or 30 years old. It's called The Gift, and it was written by Lewis Hyde, H-Y-D-E, which is sort of a philosophical treatment of gift traditions all over the world and their specific relationship to creativity and the artist's specific contribution, which cannot in its essence really be commodified. You know, the artist often in a time like ours has a hard time figuring out where do they fit in a commodity and capitalist culture, when in fact what the artist does, as Celia reminded us, is essentially something that can't be bought. It has to be given and cultivated entirely through love.
Thanks, Valerie, for the call. We have 30 seconds for you, Marguerite. I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. Hi. Do you have time, or should we save it?
Please, hello? Let's try.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Marguerite.
Hi, Marguerite.
I was a single mother in Minneapolis, and I had two children, and their daddy had died a year before, and so I couldn't afford presents for them, and they were excellent readers, and so I said, we're going to go to the heart hospital, and we're going to read to the children who've had heart surgery and all these other surgeries, and we're going to read to them all day.
Mm.
We brought books, and then when we got there, of course, I got approval from the staff, and we read all day, and then the staff kept bringing more books, and we read to the children all day, and the children still talk today about the time when we didn't have any presents for Christmas, but we gave these children our time
day.
And read to them all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, it's a great way to end this show.
That was the best. I think that's the most remarkable call. Thank you, Kathleen, for this marvelous meditation this
thank
morning.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Connie. Have a wonderful week.
Good holiday to everybody.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great hour. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to all of you. Happy Kwanzaa. I'll be with you again in 2010. I'm taking a little break to be with my family. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and John Treader.